In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, April 23rd, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Christians are fighting for every square inch of liberty they can get in Michigan. Several bills calling for religious liberty for faith-based adoption agencies have passed the state Senate, and the governor has promised to veto them. Religious protections were denied in Illinois, Massachusetts, and Washington, D.C., causing Catholic charities, which operate foster care and adoption services nationally, to shut down in those states, affecting up to one-third of the children awaiting homes in each. The Catholic Conference points out that faith-based adoption agencies in Illinois, Massachusetts, Washington, D.C., and California are closing their doors due to the attacks on religious freedom. How long, O Lord, will the wicked be jubilant? They pour out arrogant words. All the evildoers are full of boasting. They crush your people, Lord. They oppress your inheritance. Psalm 94, 3-5. Only 18% of Americans are strongly opposed to homosexual pseudo-marriage, according to a recent survey. Nearly half of Americans say they have a close friend or family member who claim to be in a pseudo-marriage with a person of the same sex. The USA Today report found that the biblical view on marriage has fallen into a definitive minority by a 51% to 35% ratio. More American, Australian, and English teens want to join ISIS. Stories abound in the media about five Australian youth arrested on a terror plot, a 14-year-old in England under arrest, and four young men were arrested in Minnesota over the weekend. The lure for young men has been around for a very long time. Proverbs 1, 10-15 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path." Israel is in the top seven most atheistic countries in the world, with little zeal for God, according to a recent Gallup poll. The majority of those living in Israel, a full 65%, claim to be atheists or non-religious. They still need the gospel. As Paul said, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." The other six nations that have embraced humanism and atheism include China, Sweden, the Czech Republic, Hong Kong, the Netherlands, and the UK. North Korea's nuclear arsenal is expanding faster than ever. At least that's what Chinese nuclear experts are saying, according to the Wall Street Journal. They have 20 nuclear warheads, and they're working on 20 more by 2016. That would be enough to kill about 60 million people, according to research produced by the universities of Georgia and Harvard. But remember, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Proverbs 21:1. Looks like Al Gore's losing ground in the automotive industry. People are selling their hybrids and buying SUVs. According to a report covered by The Blaze, 22% of people trading in their hybrid vehicles in 2015 drove away in an SUV. That was 12% 3 years ago. Breitbart reports that Texas pastors have descended on Austin, seeking support for a bill that would protect their religious freedoms from officiating weddings that would, quote, violate their sincerely held religious beliefs, unquote. Here's one small step for justice in the civil arena. The human trafficking bill finally passed the Senate on Wednesday by unanimous consent. Fines collected from the traffickers should help to pay restitution to victims of kidnapping. Open your mouth. Judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Proverbs 31:9. CNN reports that two ice cream producers have pulled their products due to reports of Listeria contamination. Jenny's Ice Cream and Blue Bell have recalled product. Apparently, the Listeria bacteria cannot survive at sub-zero temperatures, but it can transport in certain ingredients like cookie dough and nuts. Replace home education with social. That's what the Communist Manifesto said about homeschooling in 1848. But now, Christian home education is coming to Russia for the second year in a row. The second annual Family Education and Discipleship Conference will be held on May 1st and 2nd in St. Petersburg. Sponsoring pastor Andrei Firmanov expects an attendance two times the size of the first year.
As of today, I think, I forgot the exact number, but it's about 216 people, which is twice as many as there were there last year. So obviously the word of mouth is being spread and people are getting excited about it. I personally have people approach me, even in our town, and ask me different kinds of questions because they're dissatisfied with school system. Even non-Christians are. And so the people will be from all over the place.
For those with friends in Russia, let them know about the conference. Check out the website at paideiamissions.com, paideiamissions.com. And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes on this Friday, April 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, putting together a Christian worldview curriculum for my own children by way of our Christian curriculum project, Worldviews in Conflict and other forms of curriculum. We also started with our little ones with What Does the Bible Say About That for 9, 10, 11, and 12-year-olds. All that curriculum available at our website, kevinswanson.com. I'm a homeschool father just trying to apply a biblical world and life view the area of education. It's critical if we're going to salvage the next generation for the glory of God and for the Church of Christ. Well, today, Steve Vaughn in studio with me, and we're going to talk about what's happening socially to nations around the world. These are incredible times. Such transitions going on that it's mind-blowing, and I want to convey some of this to you on this edition of the program in the form of two stories, the first of which is a really interesting story from the UK Guardian, in which they headline it, "Killing Babies No Different from Abortion," experts say. Of course, that grabbed my attention. That itself grabbed my attention.
Which is the same. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, killing babies no different from abortion.
Right.
That's true.
And abortion is no different
than
killing babies.
But in this case, they're saying, as long as you're killing babies in the wombs, why not kill babies outside of the womb? And this, according to ethicists linked to Oxford University. I mean, we're talking the high elite academics of the day, my friends, taking the position of infanticide. And this is important. It's important to know that the society is directed typically by the academia, by the elite, and by the Journal of Medical Ethics. And the article was published in the Journal of Medical Ethics, reported on by the UK Guardian in the story right in front of me here on the desk. And apparently there's been some controversy over the story, no doubt, but the story or the article published in the Journal of Medical Ethics says newborn babies are not actual persons and do not have a, quote, moral right to life. The academics also argue that parents should be able to have their baby killed if it turns out to be disabled when it is born. Okay, so again, working towards a self-consistency of infanticide and what I used to consider to be eighth trimester abortions or 14th trimester abortions. When I was about 21 years of age, I would write letters into the editor suggesting that these pro-abortion advocates begin to be a little more self-consistent and advocate the eighth trimester and the 14th trimester abortions. And that's exactly what they're doing today. They're self-consistent, but of course, abandoning all semblance of Christian law, a biblical law. This is what's happening in a post-Christian era, my friends. But that's not the reason I'm bringing this article out, because this is what's even more interesting here about this article, Steve. The journalist's editor, Professor Julian Savulescu, director of the Oxford UHIDO Center for the Practical Ethics, or lack thereof, may I add, he said the article's authors have received death threats since publishing the article. He said those who made abusive and threatening posts about the study were, quote, fanatics opposed to the very values of a liberal society. Okay.
whoa.
Stop for a moment. Everybody, whoa, stop right there. Apparently, the people making death threats are opposing the values of a liberal society. And may I ask what those values were?
Killing things.
Killing people.
Yeah, killing people.
Killing people. I think that's what the values were. So, you know, again, death threats? Death threats? Isn't that what the study was all about?
Yeah, let's start with the editor.
Yeah. And that's what people were thinking.
Yeah.
Now, we're not saying that. We're saying that's what people think who are self-consistent to the ethics of the Journal of Medical Ethics. If you're going to kill the babies, why not kill the guy talking about killing the babies?
I don't think he'd like that.
He wouldn't.
Yeah.
Now, what we're saying is it's wrong to kill the editor. It's wrong to kill the guys who wrote this article. And it's wrong to kill the babies. Okay? Very simply, that's what we're saying. And we say it on the basis of God's law, thou shalt not murder. And we also say it on the basis of the Lex Talionis, in which if a baby is killed in the womb who happened to be subjected to hazardous conditions, the persons creating the hazardous conditions for the fetus are subject to penalties, civil penalties under a criminal court of law. All right, so we've got a basis for our ethical position, and they don't. Why? Because they're just random pieces of cosmic dust floating around in the universe of random chance. And there is no basis for ethics. They have no ethics because they don't have access to Exodus chapter 20, 21, and 22. That's why. So the problem, of course, here is that the minute you start writing articles about killing babies, you're beginning to ignite anarchy amongst those who would like to kill others as well. See, this is the problem, Steve, is that anarchy breeds anarchy. Those who advocate infanticide and abortion as vocally as these elite academics who've written in the Journal of Medical Ethics, as reported in the UK Guardian, these guys are walking a dangerous path, a very dangerous path. They will encourage more murder in a society in which they themselves advocate murder. This is dangerous, my friends. This is very dangerous. And of course, they have contradicted themselves very much so.
Yeah,
they concerned are about threatening posts, fanatics opposed to the very values of a liberal society? What in the world does that mean? There are no values in a liberal society. I wish he would tell the truth.
Yeah, that's the definition of a liberal society.
Is. That's right. There are no values. There are no absolutes left in a liberal society concocted by these liberals. Be back in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast. We're going to talk about what's happening in the Western world in just a moment.
Hello, brothers. As a fellow man, I understand the intimidation that comes with shepherding a family. Sometimes I don't even know how to use the scriptures to help my wife and children or others within my church. I want to be able to lead others. How can I be equipped? Well, Generations with Vision is hosting the 4th annual Shepherds Conference from October 5th through the 9th in Elizabeth, Colorado, just south of the Denver Metro. At this conference, you can get real answers to your questions. Interact with experienced pastors and shepherds and learn the importance of biblical doctrine in shepherding and discipling others in their family and church. You are invited to join Kevin Swanson, Marcus Servin, Scott Brown, and other pastors from October 5th through the 9th in Elizabeth, Colorado. To register, go to generationswithvision.com/shepherds. That's generationswithvision.com/shepherds.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Steve Vaughn, also in the studio. We take a look at stories that are defining our world today. Chilling story from the UK Guardian, as we mentioned in the last segment. This one, probably equally chilling, from Hawaii. The University of Hawaii recruiting teens to abort babies for research.
Wow.
This is from religiontoday.com. Ouch. For girls as young as 14 years of age, they want them to abort their babies in the second trimester, 18 to 24 weeks of gestation, in order to do research on the dead fetuses. That's just sick.
No, you can't say sick.
Why not?
Sick is good, I think, right now.
It is good.
So if something is sick, that means it's neat.
Oh. Postmoderns are taking every bad word.
Well, bad, see, bad used
to be. You can't use bad either.
Yeah. So
how about reprehensible?
Yeah, we could use that. I don't think they could pronounce that. So I think we're good with that. Reprehensible.
Okay. Reprehensible. This is reprehensible, friends. It's just reprehensible. And ultimately, no kidding aside, all kidding aside, this is what brings the judgment of God upon a nation.
Yeah.
Again, friends, Exodus 21, you go after the orphans, I will come after you.
Yeah.
So God says.
Yeah.
And abortion, abortifacients. And I know people are saying, yeah, there's a lot less abortion today, but there's way more abortifacient use today than there was in 2000. So we're just going to continue to see more dead babies as a result of chemical abortions and early abortions. And that's a very, very sad fact.
Yeah. Happy Earth Day for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This
is Earth Day.
Yeah.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And these are the effects of it.
Right. So we worship the earth. We kill the people.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yep. We worship the creature rather than the creator. Right.
Yeah. And so we're making the people who are celebrating Earth Day are making sacrifices, human sacrifice to the earth.
And this is an example, friends, of why fundamental truths are important. Worshipping the creature rather than the creator, when the fear of God left the University of Hawaii classrooms and the K-12 schools around America, when they refused to pray to God, to worship God, and to praise God in the science classrooms, when that becomes illegal in American schools, you begin to see everything else collapse as well. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. It's critical. And because of this, because of secularism, and because of abortion, because of Planned Parenthood, because of the wrong use of science to create the abortifacients, we have the world we have today. And here's an effect of it. This is a most engaging story covered by the Washington Post about Japan. Japan being probably a better picture of what America, China, Russia, UK, Sweden will look like in the year 2040 or 2050. That's why Japan is really an engaging story. I know some Japanese Christians very discouraged with what's happening in Japan because Japan socially, economically, and every other way is on a path towards destruction. It is inevitable. It seems predestined. I can't think of any other alternative outside of a massive revival and reformation of the gospel of Jesus Christ across that country. But having worked there ourselves and having many, many, many friends working there in Japan, there is no revival going on in Japan right now. Trust me on that. But in Japan, the schools are so small, they can't even form soccer teams, according to an article in the Washington Post. Now, the school they choose for this article is in Aone, Japan. I believe it's in Hokkaido. And they've got these large school buildings in which there are only 8 students attending the middle school and 6 students attending the K-6 school.
That's the whole school? That's not just one grade.
That's it. And we're talking, there are pictures of these school buildings. I'm talking 40,000 square feet. And the student body is standing in front of it, 6 kids.
Wow. That's
that's like 10,000
square feet
per kid.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, friends, why is this such an incredible metaphor, illustration for what is going on in the entire Western world and the Eastern world? What's going on? What happened with the exportation of Margaret Sanger and John Paul Sartre and his existentialism to every nation, every developed nation around the world? We did not export the gospel to Japan. We exported John Paul Sartre to Japan.
Yeah, okay, Paul Ehrlich.
Get that straight.
Yeah.
Planned Parenthood came into Japan in the 1950s. One of my good friends, he's a medical doctor in Japan, just emailed my father, CC'd me on the... He says when he was young, in the 50s, he was attending school. Planned Parenthood posters everywhere. Everywhere. Planned Parenthood was in Japan in the 1950s. America exported the gospel of Margaret Sanger to Japan, and the effects are seismic. Well, now, The Atlantic magazine also produced an article that explains in a little bit more detail why this is happening. Okay, so to the credit of the largest magazines and newspapers in America, they have a finger on the pulse. They know what's going on. By the way, the St. Louis Dispatch also had an article somebody sent me a couple of days ago. St. Louis public schools shedding buildings by the dozens. 31 vacant school buildings scattered across the city, referring to these schools that used to, quote, teem with children. Not so much teeming anymore. Why not? Why the lack of teeming? Friends, birth control. It's just that simple. It's birth control. And, of course, the sexual nihilism that comes with homosexuality.
Yeah, you can't have kids if you're, you know, two guys don't have kids.
Yeah, and you can't have kids if you kill them.
Right.
So the basic lessons that we've shared before on the program. You can't have kids where you have a guy and a guy. You can't have kids if you kill the ones that you bring about by sexuality. Okay, so it's just basic lessons there for those of you struggling with reality.
Right.
But The Atlantic also explains a little bit more as to why women aren't having children. You know, it's interesting. Kipling said the women had no more children. The men lost reason and faith.
Yeah, the gods of the copybook.
That's right. But here's what she says in this article, the Atlantic article, Why Women Aren't Having Children. It's a long article. It goes on and on. It's a feature article in the Atlantic. But let me just read just a few sections from it. May I say from the outset, egalitarianism is a huge part of this. The entire social system, the economic system, the socioeconomic system tied in. It's why we do family economics conferences, because we believe that this could salvage something of a civilization in the years to come. People began to think differently about the entire social construct of the home. But this is what the Atlantic article says. It has to do with economics. She says it's economics. It's economics. It's a fact that there aren't family economics conferences in America, basically what she says.
Yeah.
If there were family economics conferences in America, this kind of stuff wouldn't be happening. That's at least one line of argument. She's got a couple of lines, but she says, though no one exactly says it, women are voting with their ovaries. And the reason is simple. There are too few social supports, especially given the fact that the majority of women are no longer just mothers now. They're mother workers. That is, they work outside of the home. So again, if your economic system is built that way, then I'm sorry, your women will have no more children and your men will lose reason and faith. Friends, we're talking about the salvaging of future families. We're talking about the salvaging of a society. And she says it doesn't happen and it won't happen. Because the education systems are geared to prepare women to get into the workforce and not to form family economies. Now, she's saying that's all good. She's really happy, as far as I can tell, about the fact that women are not having any more children. She's happy about the fact that women are content to be in the workplace. Her main beef is the socialist systems aren't strong enough to, you know, continue to sustain them in their socialist experience in the workplace. She wants more socialist systems. She doesn't want the family to be involved. She wants no family economies. She wants no freedom for families. She wants the large socialist totalitarian state to take care of individual women from womb to tomb, if they ever make it out of the womb. Okay, now, here's what she says also. She refers to the author of We Need to Talk About Kevin, Lionel Shriver, a book in which a mother's life is ruined by her psychopathic son. I could have afforded children financially, Shriver writes. I just didn't want them. They are untidy. They would have messed up my apartment. In the main, they are ungrateful. They would have siphoned away too much time for my precious books. Sounds exactly like Jean-Jacques Rousseau.
Yeah.
He said he didn't want children because they would make too much of a clatter in the garret while he was busy writing his books. It's precisely the way he put it. And of course, Jean-Jacques Rousseau had five children, abandoned them on the day they were born on the steps of an orphanage to die there because he could care less about children. He was too busy saving the world.
And you would think that of anyone, the education system, especially the, you know, elementary education system, would be pushing for people to have children because that's their job. And so you've gone from 240 students.
Yeah.
And I would imagine if you're doing 10 per student, even 30, you've got 80 teachers in there. Mm-hmm. And now we've gone down to 8, so one teacher.
Yeah.
So you've gotten So you're actually, confusion.
Yeah.
They're doing things to destroy themselves.
Yes, they are. Sure, absolutely. And what's a society going to do when you have 80 million retirees and 30 million 30-somethings who are barely willing to work for a living and give up anything to their own kids, let alone their retiring parents and grandparents. So the whole self-centered existentialism winds down in about 30 years. Max.
Yeah.
Max. This thing won't last much longer, friends. It just won't.
Yeah.
Societies can't survive when people are killing their kids and refusing to care for their elderly because they're so self-centered, living for themselves because there's no heaven, having a good time for the time being. Friends, that worldview just is so myopic. It is so short-sighted, it just simply cannot survive.
No. Can you imagine if the 120 million children who had been aborted actually weren't?
Yeah.
How many? We wouldn't have these empty office spaces. Yeah. We wouldn't have empty houses. We wouldn't have empty anything. They claim that it's an economic thing, and yet they're destroying their own economics because they just don't get it.
True Christianity, folks, will be a sharp contrast with the self-centered, fakey, pseudo-liberal, materialistic society that you find in many churches today. Yes, churches. I said churches. As well as schools, as well as the media. Self-centered people are going to birth implode. They'll kill their own kids. They'll divorce each other and create a sexual nihilism through the generations. But Jesus said, "He who loses his life for my sake will save it." Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, Steve, that's a culture that's going to survive.
Amen.
I guess my encouragement, friends, to you right now is be sure you get a copy of my book, Keep the Faith, on sexuality and family. This is where we deal with these issues. It's called Keep the Faith on Sexuality, a little hardback, about 120 pages long. But it really brings these principles down to the basic nub, where we take in the biblical approach to sexuality and family and present it in contrast with what the world is doing in destroying itself. Keep the Faith on Sexuality and the Family, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.